The kingdom of Katuje celebrates the birth of a prince, but joy quickly turns to horror. At the shrine of Ogun, blind soothsayer Baba Fakunle delivers a chilling prophecy. This child will grow up to kill his father and marry his mother. Desperate to prevent this catastrophe, King Adetusa and Queen Ojuola make the heartbreaking decision to sacrifice their son. The infant's feet are bound with cowries, leaving permanent scars, and he's handed to the king's messenger Gbonka with instructions to abandon him in the evil grove. Years pass, King Adetusa dies, and neighboring Ikolu attacks vulnerable Katuje. A stranger named Odewale appears, rallying the demoralized people to victory. Grateful citizens crown this outsider their new king. For 11 years, Odewale rules with Queen Ojuwala as his wife, together raising 4 children in what seems a perfect royal family. But paradise cannot last. A mysterious sickness spreads through Katuje, killing indiscriminately. No one suspects this plague is merely the beginning of a tragedy set in motion decades earlier, when a desperate couple tried to outrun fate and a compassionate messenger couldn't bring himself to kill an innocent child. The play opens with townspeople gathered before the palace in grief and lamentation. When King Odewale appears, their mourning turns to anger as they accuse him of ignoring their suffering while enjoying royal comforts. Odewale responds with empathy rather than defensiveness. "This sickness affects us all," he declares, summoning Queen Ojuwala to show their own sick children as proof. He details sacrifices made to gods and his decision to send Aderopo, the queen's son from her previous marriage, to consult the oracle. What distinguishes Odewale is his practical leadership. Beyond prayers, he challenges his people. "What have you done to help yourselves?" He prescribes specific herbs and treatments, emphasizing that the ruin of a land begins in their homes, balancing personal responsibility with collective action. Reinvigorated, the townspeople head to gather medicinal herbs, their mourning transformed into purposeful movement and celebration. Beneath Odewale's confidence lies a profound sense of responsibility. When a grieving widow approaches, he takes personal responsibility for her baby, a compassion that makes what follows all the more devastating. The council chamber falls silent as Aderopo returns from the oracle with a shocking message. A murderer walks among them, and until this killer is brought to justice, the land will suffer. The victim was King Adetusa himself. When Odewale demands details, he learns of a crime from years ago on the road from Oshogbo, where only one bodyguard returned alive, claiming robbers attacked them. Tellingly, Odewale immediately suspects conspiracy rather than accepting the robbery explanation. He suggests powerful forces must have protected the murderer. When crocodiles eat their own eggs, what will they not do to the flesh of a frog? Despite 11 years as king, he still sees himself as vulnerable to tribal prejudice. Determined to find justice, Odewale swears an oath before Ogun, vowing to expose the killer and condemn them to public shame, blinding, and exile to die unmourned by men who know him and buried by vultures who know him not. The dramatic irony is devastating. Odewale has unknowingly pronounced his own sentence. The next day, Baba Fakunle, the blind seer who prophesied the royal baby's fate, is brought before Odewale. When asked to identify King Adetusa's murderer, the seer attempts to leave, claiming the truth is choking him. When detained, he bluntly accuses, "You are the murderer." The confrontation intensifies when Baba Fakunle cryptically calls Odewale a bed-sharer. Enraged, Odewale lashes out while the seer warns that his hot temper, like a disease from birth, is the curse that has brought you trouble. As guards remove him, the seer warns, "Think deep before darkness covers you up." Afterward, Odewale paces nervously, suspecting conspirators, particularly Aderopo, whom he believes bribed the seer. Their confrontation ends with Odewale banishing Aderopo, declaring 2 rams cannot drink from the same bucket. Despite pleas from the priest and Ojuwala's distress, Odewale refuses reconciliation. This transformation reveals suspicion's poisonous nature. Unable to face potential guilt, Oduwole projects it outward, creating imaginary enemies, with his tribal insecurity providing fertile ground for these suspicions. The arrival of Alaka, an old man from Ijekun, marks a turning point. Forcing his way into the palace, he represents Oduwole's past catching up with him. Alaka has known Oduwole since birth, calling him Scorpion for his temper. Their reunion is joyful, embracing warmly, singing and dancing together. Oduwole introduces Alaka to Ojuwala as his friend of all friends, who taught him everything in his father's house. In a moment of trust, Oduwole reveals a dark secret. Years ago, near Ede, he killed an old man at a place where three footpaths meet. The man had mocked Odawale's Ijekun tribe and summoned men to attack him. In the fight, Oduwole killed him with a hoe and fled across five rivers, eventually reaching Kutuje. This confession forms the first piece of the tragic puzzle. The audience, recalling King Adatusa's death on the road near Ede, at a place where three paths meet, begins to suspect what Oduwole doesn't, that he killed his own father. The final revelations unfold rapidly. Ujuala mentions that a soothsayer once prophesied her firstborn would kill his father and marry his mother, the prophecy from the play's opening. Alaka brings good news that Oduwole's father died peacefully while his mother lives, briefly relieving Oduwole, who thinks this disproves the prophecy. This relief shatters when Alaka reveals that Ogundel and Mobike aren't Odawale's real parents. Enraged, Oduwole forces Alaka to confess he found Oduwole as a baby in Ipetu Bush, brought by Gbanka. The truth emerges when Gbanka admits he was ordered to kill baby Oduwole but spared him. When pressed, Gbanka points to the priest of Ugun, who confirms the horrifying reality. Ujuala is both Odawale's wife and birth mother. Tragedy follows. Oduwole enters the bedroom in a daze. After a wail, Abero emerges crying. Oduwole reveals Ojuala has killed herself with a dagger. After closing the curtain, Oduwole uses the same dagger to blind himself. Blinded and bleeding, Oduwole enters with dignity despite his devastation. He apologizes to Adaropo, who responds, "It was the god's will." Yet Oduwole refuses this easy absolution, declaring, "The powers would have failed if I did not let them use me." While acknowledging divine forces, he claims responsibility for his actions. His fatal flaw, tribal defensiveness, led him to kill a man who insulted his supposed tribe, only to discover this man was his true father. This transforms the tragedy from a tale of inescapable fate to a meditation on how character determines destiny. In his final moments, Oduwole gathers his four children and prepares to lead them into exile. As they depart through kneeling townspeople, he delivers the play's final wisdom. When the wood insect gathers sticks, on its own head it carries them. We bear responsibility for our actions' consequences, even unimaginable ones. The greatest tragedy may not be our inability to escape fate, but that we become instruments of our own undoing through our defining qualities.